Ramsey TV.
Here's the thing. This is the thing. Here is the thing. Some people think that if you're an Israelite today, whether you're an obvious Israelite or if you're an Israelite from way back, if you have a hankering. Now that's an American thing, I guess. A hankering. If you have a desire, if you see the gospel God gave to Abraham and you embrace it, and if you stay fast to it, even though it's not the active evangelical now, then you're just some poor, misguided Israelite. You're really in the body of Christ, because there's no such thing today, so goes the theory, no such thing today as an Israelite type person who can legitimately embrace the circumcision gospel, that is to hope for the return of Christ to shepherd all the nations of the earth. This is Martin Zender. I'm broadcasting to you from my kitchen in Fort Lauderdale at the edge of the bottom of the Floridan Peninsula, distinguishing it from all other peninsulas. I make sense for a living 5 days a week. I also make sense on the weekends. You just don't know about it because I don't broadcast. But just ask anybody who knows me. So this theory that only Paul's gospel is graspable today. Only Paul's gospel. The gospel of the grace of God is on the table today. This always puzzled me. Like, how could this be true? Doesn't God always keep a remnant of those who are faithful to their calling? And if an Israel type reads Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, loves it, reads the book of James, loves it, reads the book of Hebrews, loves it, reads the whole Old Testament and loves it, and they just embrace their gospel, the gospel God gave to Abraham, many of us, many in our circle, would say, well, those poor people, they're just ignorant body of Christ people. They're all in the body of Christ. Yeah, but they don't believe necessarily in the death of Christ for sin, which is the bedrock of Paul's gospel. They believe that Jesus is the Messiah, and they love the law, and they're smart, some of these people, some of them. They understand that they can't practice law while there's no temple. They understand that they are an evangel in waiting. That is, their fulfillment is in waiting. They know that they can't support any of the temple activities until A, there is a temple, and B, there's a new priesthood. And none of this can happen until Jesus Christ returns. So they're waiting for that. The hallmark now of the gospel of the circumcision, that is the gospel God gave to Abraham, the gospel concerning the earth and the Israel people, the hallmark of that is waiting. You're waiting for it. Now, we in the body of Christ, we're waiting for the redemption of our bodies. We're waiting to be constituted just. Now we're merely declared just, which is great enough. But we're not waiting. We're actively on the front burner, as Paul is going to explain in Romans chapter 11. So my beef against this whole viewpoint that really there's no circumcision believer today. Really? And I'm going to prove that that's false, by the way. Yes, that's what I do. I'm going to prove, I prove things false that are false. I don't go around proving that this is false, this idea that there's no circumcision believing saints today. I prove things false that are false, and I'm going to show you from Romans 11 that this idea, this theory that there's no legitimate believers in the gospel of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob today is false. Not only that, but it's not true. Not only that, but Paul is taking pains in Romans 11 to prove that what is true is that there's a remnant. And the remnant in this context has to be believers in the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob gospel, or Paul's offering them as evidence is stupid. It doesn't make sense. It's ridiculous. And to think, just before I go into Romans 11 again, started yesterday, entertain this for a moment, please. Think of this. Are you telling me that when the body of Christ is snatched away and God takes up again with Israel, that he's starting from scratch? That there's not one single person on the earth who believes in the gospel of Peter, the gospel of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the gospel that Jesus, as a Israel type, Jesus in his Jew suit, heralded when he was on the earth? You're telling me that there's not one single person today, not the 144,000, not anybody, who believes this gospel? They're all ignorant Paul people. They're all in the body of Christ. This is absurd. God does not start from scratch. He has his people. He's grooming the 144,000 right now. And they are embracing this earthly gospel, not ours, but the gospel of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the gospel of Jesus Christ when he was on earth, given to Peter, that one, concerning shepherding all the nations of the ground. I keep calling it the gospel of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob because Abraham was the guy he was given to. Straight off, gave it to Abraham. Look at the stars, Abraham. You see those stars?
Yo.
Well, try to count them.
All right. One, two, there's too many.
Okay, thus shall your seed be. That's a figure of speech for your children. And those that come from you will be a great nation. I will make them into a great nation. I will build them into a wonder of wonders, and they will eventually shepherd all the nations of the ground. Yes, a kingdom will come from them that shall not know harm for the eon. God has given 1,000 years for the fulfillment of this wonderful thing. Jesus came to confirm it for the Israelites because they hadn't heard from a prophet in like 400 years. And Jesus came and said, yeah, game's on, still on, we're doing this. This is what God promised your forefathers. I'm here to confirm it. Romans 15:8, Jesus Christ became a minister to confirm the patriarchal promises. They were all excited about it. But a lot of people got it, 2, 3, 4, 5,000. But the leadership, the priesthood, the Pharisees, they crucified him. Ouch, I wonder if that hurts. Well, it hurts Israel for the eon, that's for sure, because God then cast away his people. He didn't thrust them away. Going to get into that beautiful detail. Casts them away, does not thrust them away. Watch the difference on the kitchen cam. Casts them away. Ooh, what am I doing? What am I doing? I'm like throwing a fit. Cast, does not thrust them away. It's this, no, versus this, yes, because he's going to pull them back into the boat. In the meantime, prove to me that God has not thrust away Israel completely. Oh, well, I can prove that. All right, go ahead. Well, there's Paul. Oh, you mean the guy who jumped the Israel ship? Yeah. And you're using that to prove that God hasn't thrust away his people? I would say that that would be exhibit A, that God has thrust away his people. Now, I want to correct something I said yesterday in Romans 11, the beginning sentence by our apostle. And remember, Paul is zealous for Israel. He loves them. I love them. I love what God loves. God loves Israel. Zender loves Israel. And so Paul, though, has a real deep longing for them to come into their calling. In Romans 11, he wants them to come into their calling. I'm going to prove that right at the end. Well, I'll prove it now. This is not about Israelites coming into the body of Christ. That's absurd, because that doesn't prove that God has not thrust away his people. Again, it would be exhibit A to the contrary. If we look at the end, let's go to the end at the beginning here at Romans 11, 25. Paul talks about the complement of the nations coming in. And then, and thus all Israel shall be saved according as it is written. Ha ha. This salvation of Israel that Paul is gunning toward at the end of Romans has to do with a salvation according as it is written. This is the traditional according as it is written, gospel. That is, the gospel of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because Paul's gospel was not written. The salvation Paul's talking about that he longs for his people is not for them to come into the body of Christ. It's for them to come into their own calling. Now, I have no doubt that Paul, when he spoke to individuals, individual Israel types, he probably said, I got a new evangel here. What do you think of this? And he gives it to him on an individual basis at the coffee shop, at the racetrack, at the boxing match, in the kitchen, whatever. But when he's writing a doctrinal piece, when he's writing a letter of serious theological considerations, he is putting forth Israel as the nation that received the promises given to Abraham. So it's his longing in Romans 11, need to set that table to bring them into their own gospel. So Paul says, I'm saying, does not God thrust away his people? I explained yesterday why that would be a logical question, but my mistake was in the next statement, Paul says, may it not be coming to that. I said like that was a figure of speech for hell no. Well, it's not, because Paul doesn't answer the question yet. So when he says, may it not be coming to that, what that means is, may it not be coming to that. That's what it means. It means what it says. So he's not exactly answering the question yet. He's just saying, oh, how abhorrent that would be. Like, that would be the worst thing ever. That's what he's saying here. That's another way to say it. Does God thrust away his people? Huh. That would be horrible. That would be horrible. May it not be coming to that. And then the question would be, Paul, why do you say that? Well, for I also am an Israelite. You see, because if you think Paul has already answered the question and said, does God thrust away his people? No. If you think that may it not be coming to that means no, then you could be tempted to think that his next statement is Exhibit A. Well, I also am an Israelite. God doesn't thrust away his people. No, he doesn't. Prove it. Well, I'm an Israelite. What does that have to do with anything? You stated in Philippians that your nationality is now refuse to you. Those things which you consider gain, one of them being a Benjamite, being a big shot from the tribe of Benjamin, you counted that as rubbish. So how are you evidence that God has not thrust away his people? Exactly. What Paul is saying is, I have an active interest. May it not be coming to that. Why are you so concerned? What do you mean? You hope that doesn't happen. That would be terrible. That would be the most horrible thing in the world. Why are you saying that, Paul? Because I also am an Israelite. I have a vested interest in the answer to this question. And the answer to the question comes next. Paul says, may it not be coming to that. That is, that God has thrust away his people. For I also am an Israelite out of Abraham's seed, Benjamin's tribe. You see, when he's talking to the body of Christ proper, when he's about the body of Christ, he says, Benjamin, what? That was all, I count it all lost. Now he's actually using his heritage to say, I have a vested interest in these people. That's why I'm writing you this. And then he answers the question, verse 2, God does not thrust away his people whom he foreknew. You hear that, preterists? You hear that, replacement theologists? You hear that? God does not thrust away his people. You think he does and replaces them with a people who are not Israelites and somehow fulfills his promises metaphorically. No, not true. God does not thrust away his people whom he foreknew. And then Paul goes into an historic account concerning Elijah. Have not you perceived in Elijah what the scripture is saying as he is pleading with God against Israel? So see, this is not the first era when Paul's writing Romans 11 where people think God is done with Israel. When people think there's no more faithful Israelites left, faithful to their own calling, Paul says, this has happened before. Going to give you an example. Don't you remember Elijah? Have you not perceived in Elijah what the scripture is saying as he is pleading with God against Israel? And there's many reasons to go against Israel at this time. They crucified their own Messiah. Sorry, didn't mean to say that, but they did. They don't think they did because they don't know yet that Jesus was their Messiah. Some do. Most don't. This is a quote from the poor man, Elijah, who was vexed by this stubborn, stiff-necked people. He is pleading with God against Israel. Lord, your prophets they kill, your altars they dig down. I was left alone and they are seeking my soul. I'm the only guy left. I'm the last man standing. Well, you can't blame him for thinking that. It seems that way, doesn't it? Seems that way with us too. But what is that which apprises saying to him? Don't understand that sentence, the way it's worded. It's awkward. It's a Greek thing. What is that which apprises saying to him? In other words, God answered him and said, quote, I left for myself 7,000 men who do not bow the knee to the image of Baal. Elijah must have said, 7,000? Where are they? Where do you got them hidden? You got them tied up in a warehouse in New Jersey? Are they in an underground bunker? 7,000, really? He must have been shocked. But God said, I do. I had 7,000. So there's not all the Israelites became unfaithful. Now look what Paul says now. Here it is. Thus then, just like then, it is now. In the current era, also, this is Paul, I'm in verse 5 of Romans 11, there has come to be a remnant. A remnant. What's a remnant? Well, when you go to the carpet store and you buy a remnant of carpet, it's a piece cut off of a bigger piece. It's not a lot. In other words, it's kind of a derogatory term, like a remnant. It's just like leftovers. You go to your kitchen, eat the remnant of last night's meal. There's leftovers. There's a few stragglers. There's a few true people left. There's not many, but there's a few. Paul says, same thing now. There are, even now, Paul says, those who are faithful to the calling. There is in the current era, and that includes our era. Let me show you that real quick. In the current era, Romans 8, verse 18, for I am reckoning that the sufferings of the current era do not deserve the glory about to be revealed. The current era. I've been told that the current era, where there was a remnant of faithful Israelites, I've been told that that was Paul's era. That was back then. Yes, there were faithful believers in the gospel of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob back then. But that era passed. When? When did that era pass? Well, that era passed when Paul died. After that, it's body of Christ all the way. It's body of Christ all day, all the time. Really? But aren't we still in the current era? No. That current era expired like a parking meter. Well, I don't know. Paul says in Romans 8:18 that the sufferings of the current era did not deserve the glory about to be revealed. Seems to me I'm still suffering. You're still suffering. The body of Christ is still suffering. Lots of people are still suffering. Ooh, I think we're still in that era. And then on top of that, we have Romans 3:26. Boy, I'm getting all tangled in my own scriptures here. Toward the display of righteousness in the current era. It talks about God's display of righteousness in the current era. This is all in the same book of Romans. Same letter, current era. God's righteousness being displayed, is it still being displayed? If it's not, then we're possibly out of the current era. Then the current era Paul speaking in, might have expired. But if God's righteousness is still going forth, and if you're still suffering, then we're still in the current era. And there has come to be a remnant of believing Israelites in the current era, which is now. And if Paul is offering up this remnant, I'll end with this for the week. If Paul is saying that, well, there are some Israelites who are still faithful, but they've jumped ship and they've joined my gospel. That is not evidence that God has not thrust away his people. That would be evidence that he has. That would be like saying, well, look at this. We got a great orange crop. Look at this orange crop. We got some Israelites who believe my gospel. And that would be like Paul offering the orange crop to prove that the apple crop will come in. That God hasn't forsaken the apple crop. Prove to me that God has not forsaken the apple crop. Well, look at these oranges. Look at these oranges I got. It's apples and oranges. To take any Israelites, including Paul, who have jumped their nationality ship, jumped Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to join Paul in the body of Christ, to say that that is evidence that God has not thrust away his people is absurd. It's absolutely impossible. Paul is proving here that God has not thrust away his natural people toward their own fulfillment of their own gospel, as I just read in Romans 11:25 and 11:26. And he says that, no, there's still a remnant. There's still believers among Israel in their own message in the current era. We are still in the current era. Therefore, today there are still those faithful to the promises God made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will be detailing this next week. Might have to dip into the book of Hebrews, one of my favorite books in the whole Bible. It addresses the plight of those who find themselves without a temple, without a kingdom. They have to wait, wait, and wait, but they're still waiting. They're waiting today, and today, in the current era, there are faithful Israelites. I'm happy to report the remnant still exists of those who embrace the ancient gospel.